Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Peace Alliance National Monthly Field Call for the month of February. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm a National Field Coordinator, and many of you may know me, and I'm very glad to have you with us. This is, as probably many of you have been experiencing, kind of a challenging time in the world of politics and in our social lives, maybe among friends and family and acquaintances, and maybe even a challenging time in our own spirits these days, I think it's fair to say. And it's times like these when I really, really appreciate having a community like this one that is focused on really holistic, proactive solutions, and in opening our hearts and working on ourselves and working positively in our world for progressive change. So I really relish being here, and I appreciate all of you for being here too. I'd like to do something a little different. I'd like to actually lead us, guide us in a few moments of self-centering, just to kind of welcome us into presence with each other. And then I'll go ahead and share the agenda for the call tonight. So if you would like to, I invite you to make yourself comfortable, and wherever you're sitting or standing, or if you're driving, then don't get too relaxed. But if you're not driving, then you're welcome to close your eyes if you'd like to, and maybe bring your attention just to your body in space, wherever your weight is resting. If you're seated, the weight of your legs and bottom on the chair, your feet on the ground, and let's notice what our breath is doing. Give ourselves space to allow our breath to come in and out as it will. And then let's really recognize our hearts. I think our hearts have been doing a lot of extra work in recent months, trying to make sense of things and trying to guide us, and I really like to appreciate what they have been doing. So just giving thanks and putting some attention on our hearts, and that might actually help us and lead us to speak from our hearts and listen from our hearts for the next hour or so, and perhaps beyond as we go back out into the world after this call. So if you'd like to, come on back into connection, and you can open your eyes if you'd like, or you can stay very relaxed for the rest of the call if you'd like. So again, welcome to all. The rest of our agenda for the evening is we're going to have an introduction of our leadership council. You're going to hear from all of those folks who are newly chosen and have stepped up to play a lead role in helping our organization to function and flourish into this next generation. Then we are going to get into some action training. We're going to talk about the value and importance of empathy in action in our own personal life, in our social circles, and in political advocacy in particular. And we're going to have some training with a couple of special guests. And you're going to have a chance to share things that are on your mind that you might want empathy around and that you might want strategy around. So I've actually sent an empathy and action sheet, a guidance sheet, to all the people that registered for this call. I sent that about half an hour ago. So unless you just registered, you should have that in your email inbox. So for that portion of the call, it's going to be in about a half an hour, I welcome you to go ahead and download that action sheet and print it out if you'd like, or just have it available to look at when we get to that in about a half an hour. So after that process, we're going to have a chance for shares from around the country, whatever's on your mind that you'd like to share from your peace-building world. And then we're going to hear from one of our chair people of our boards of directors, Judy Kimmel, and then we'll close out our call. So that is our action-packed next 56 minutes or so. So what I would like to do now is go straight into some introductions, and really, they're an amazing group of people who have stepped up and been chosen to lead our leadership council. There were over 100 people that applied for positions on this leadership council, and we narrowed it down, and now I believe we are at 10. And five of those folks are representing specific cornerstones from among the five cornerstones of peace building. So I'm not going to give them each a big introduction. I'm just going to tell you their names and the position that they are holding on the council, and I'll ask them to say a few words about themselves. So we're going to start off with our beloved Lori Draper, who is holding it down as the executive administrative lead. Lori, go ahead. Tell us a little bit.
Thanks, Dan. That sounds so very important. So I am from beautiful Seward, Alaska, and I have been working with the Peace Alliance as a volunteer and on the staff for quite a few years now. I take care of things like the donations that come in and handle the phone calls that come and the emails that come. Some technical issues, I'm starting to get my feet wet doing those kind of things. In addition to helping Dan from time to time with the field director or field coordinator role that Dan has now. So that's just a little bit about what I do, Dan. Thanks.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you, Lori. So next we're going to go into the five cornerstones, and we will start with teaching peace in schools, and the person who is our lead for teaching peace in schools is Yelena Popovich. Go ahead, Yelena. Your mic is open.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Dan. Can you hear me well?
Yes, you sound great. Thank you.
Great. I'm so glad to be in this call and honored to be a part of the Peace Alliance Leadership Council. And I'm really eager to listen, learn, connect, and advocate for peace building practices in schools. Besides being a strong advocate for teaching peace in schools, peace education also has a very very personal dimension to me as well. I immigrated to the United States as a teenager during the wars in former Yugoslavia. So it is that it has really impacted me in this work. So although I'm new to the Peace Alliance, I have years of experience in education as a school psychologist and mindfulness educator, and I have been passionately advocating for safe and compassionate school communities that are based on culturally and linguistically responsive practices, and just integrating and promoting social-emotional education, mindfulness practices, and restorative justice in school. I facilitate communities of practice for schools and school districts. I lead mindful educators meetups, organize conferences, and lead mindfulness retreats for educators. And one thing that I do strongly believe is that educators need time to wind down, reflect, and practice finding moments of inner peace in order to teach peace. So, and I believe that, researching and, advocating for evidence-based programs is really important, but it's also important that we as educators need to start with what is going on within us if we want to teach and focus and process this of self-awareness and critical self-reflection. So, again, my intentions are to listen, learn, connect, and advocate, and I am eager to listen, learn, and connect with you all. And the best way to reach me is just email me at yelena@peacealliance.org. Thanks, Dan.
Wonderful. Thank you, Yelena. So fantastic. It's just a thrill to hear the passion and experience of all of you folks, and I really appreciate it. Next up, I'd love to hear from our Empowering Community Peacebuilding lead, and that's Shannon Betters. Welcome, Shannon. Shannon, can you hear me? You might have your phone muted.
Hi, Dan. Yes, thank you for reminding me about that.
Sure, there you are.
To be on this call, I've been a volunteer and a participant of the Peace Alliance since about 2014. I really started to become inspired when I participated in a book study for Reclaiming Our Democracy by Sam Daly Harris, and then completed the SHIFT Network's Peace Ambassador training. That led me to want to become a volunteer to be the Rochester team Rochester, New York team leader. I do reside in Rochester, New York with my two little ones. And then it kind of took off from there. I attended the lobby days for the 2014 lobby days. It was in Washington, D.C., as well as the 2015 National Conference where we lobbied for the Youth Promise Act. And in 2015 at the National Conference, Hart Phoenix and Jeffrey Weisberg were there, and they announced that the River Phoenix Peacebuilding Center would be hosting its first community peacebuilding immersion training. And at the time, the Peace Alliance was starting its Be the Peace movement campaign, and let's just say I took it to heart, and I immersed myself into the training last year. I was one of the first of about 20, I think there were a total of us attendees that came from all over the country to complete the immersion training, which intensely focused on community circles, restorative justice practitioner training. There was police youth dialogue, trauma and adverse childhood experience, de-escalation techniques, racial disparity, developing youth leadership, as well as many other areas relevant to healing communities. And it was a life-changing event for me. At the same time, I also, with the Be the Movement campaign completely inspiring me, decided a year ago that I wanted to become a yoga instructor. So I have recently completed the Yoga Alliance's yoga instruction. So with those two things behind me, this just kind of really fell into place. The community peace building really comes into play for me because when we start at home and when we start with ourselves, we can really see the effect of what we do. And I think that with the world being so tired right now and maybe so frustrated right now, that for me is just where you can really see the fruits of your efforts and your labor. And I do want to just kind of put in a little announcement, too, that the second community peacebuilding immersion training will be happening at the River Phoenix Center for Peacebuilding, and it's going to be starting on April 7th. So I know they're accepting applications now. You can look them up on their website, which you can look up through our website, and you can always contact me at shannon@peacealliance.org.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you so much, Shannon. And I'm sure that peacebuilding immersion would be a great, great builder for so many people in our field who really want to enrich their understanding of what's available in peacebuilding.
I can honestly say it was one of the best investments I've ever made in myself. It was just a completely healing and transforming, event to participate in.
Right. So folks can email you if they want to check in about that, the possibility?
Absolutely. I would love to talk to people about that, as well as any other ideas you have about what's going on in your communities. We're definitely looking for any information you have. If there's something going on in your community that you think is really interesting, we would love to hear from you. We're really looking to reach out to other communities in the United States and other areas that, you have something that you think's working. We want to hear about it and, definitely promote.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks so much, Shannon. Such a dynamic model with all these folks actively engaged. So next, I want to welcome our Humanizing Justice Systems lead council member, and that's Patricia Latai. Patty, go ahead. You're up.
Great. Hi, Dan and everyone, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great. Thanks.
Okay, wonderful. Okay. So I am honored and feel privileged to be a part of this amazing team, and the way I can contribute is basically utilizing my experience in restorative justice, which I've been involved with for over a decade now, and also I was fortunate enough to also have some life enhancing training that really kind of changed the trajectory of my life, which was studying nonviolent communication with Marshall Rosenberg at one of the international IITs, the intensive trainings, a few years back. And that was when I was leading a youth program, and I was looking for an anger management curriculum and wound up studying NVC. And as many of us know, I'm sure, is really reaching an understanding of feelings and needs and understanding why our behaviors are motivated by met or unmet needs. So I would say I've incorporated that into restorative justice circles, having that level of empathy and understanding and a willingness to connect in stressful times when we have victims and offenders meet, and hopefully resolve their conflict and actually heal from their incidents that impacted both of them. One of the things that I've been discussing with Terry and Dan, you as well, is having a webinar on utilizing therapy dogs within the RJ circles, and hoping to bring knowledge of the level of comfort that therapy dogs can bring into RJ, and as well as, you know, in creating peace in the world. My graduate degree is in journalism and mass communication, and my thesis was actually the human-animal bond. So, and we've seen many programs within the justice system simply utilizing animals, such as using court therapy dogs in court cases, and then having incarcerated individuals be training dogs and having connections, you know, between each other and with the animals as well. So I have a familiarity with the juvenile justice system, having worked in various nonprofits in receiving referrals from the justice system. And also, I would say another pivotal moment in my life was the opportunity to be a Rotary Peace Fellow in Thailand, Chulalongkorn University in Bangkok, a couple years ago, which really opened my eyes to all the efforts of peace building across the world and how similar we all are in so many ways, even if we term our different practices in different words and in different languages. So I would say that I'm hoping to be able to share and also connect and support our peace-building efforts. And any information regarding any of the four aspects of the justice system, which would be, you know, prevention, and then prevention / intervention, and then we're looking at incarceration, and then reintegration or reentry. There's so much to the justice system that if anybody has any articles, videos, anything they'd like us to share in regards to their local efforts or global efforts, you know, I'd be more than willing to get those out to everyone who needs them. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much.
That's terrific, Patty. It's such a pleasure. I love the work that you're doing and what you bring to the table. If folks want to contact you about those opportunities, it's patty@peacealliance.org. Is that working for you?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And, of course, I love the interspecies restorative circle process. It really touches my heart and such leading edge, wonderful stuff.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dan.
Sure. So I had wanted to keep the cornerstone folks together, but Marla Mossman is our international peacebuilding lead, and she had a last-minute meeting that has run too late, and she's not going to be able to join us. But hopefully she'll be able to check in with you all in other mediums and other times, or if she joins the call later, we'll be happy to introduce her. And Ngozi Rashida Akosia is our lead for cultivating personal peace, and I don't see her on the dashboard. So Ngozi, if you dialed in using somebody else's email and you're on, but I just don't see your name, go ahead and raise your hand. You can press 1. Ngozi, if you're on the call and I just haven't recognized your name because it's a different name there, press 1 on your keypad so I'll know that it's you and we don't omit you. Okay, not seeing any hands. So again, if Ngozi joins us later in the call, then we'll be happy to introduce her. So for now, we'll move away from the cornerstones to hear from Geraldine Stapleton, who is our legislative priorities lead. Go ahead, Geraldine, your mic is live. Hi.
Hi, everybody. My name is Geraldine, as Dan was kind enough to introduce me. I've been involved with the Peace Alliance since 2005. I went to hear Mary Ann Williamson speak, and she was talking about this big conference that they were having in Washington, D.C., and in my quest to end violence against women and girls, I thought, oh boy, this really makes sense to me, this Department of Peace. And so I went to the conference just to check it out, and of course ended up knee-deep involved in it. And then shortly after, I became, you know, like the congressional district lead, and then went on to be California state lead for Southern California. Anyway, I've been working with legislative and advocacy for many, many years, starting with racial justice and moving on to the women's movement. And so I have a lot of experience in advocacy and legislative and policy work. And I also had the privilege of working with Lynn McMullen when I first joined the Peace Alliance, who was a very, very precious leader until she became ill. So that was a great experience for me as well in terms of learning even more to add. I also serve as on the Advisory Council for the National Association of Community and Restorative Justice, and a big supporter, you know, of ending mass incarceration and the recidivism rate and working on legislative and policy issues towards that, and especially in the area of our juvenile justice system. So I will be forthcoming with legislation that even with what we're having to deal with on, you know, the federal level with the new administration, there are things that are going to be coming forth that we can be supporting, and one of them is, again, one of the pieces with Cory Booker in terms of solitary confinement. It's S-329, and that's to restrict the use of solitary confinement for juveniles on federal custody. And we have supported this before. We supported it for California legislation. And so this is something that definitely we want to go forward with. The majority of federal legislation right now is pretty much opposing everything, which is really hasn't been our philosophy. Our philosophy is to be for something rather than against something. So this is something that we're going to have to discuss and decide just exactly how much actually the Peace Alliance as an organization should be involved in terms of the resistance, in terms of actually opposing something. But when we have a bill like Cory Booker's in terms of wanting to place restrictions on the use of solitary confinement for juveniles, is definitely something that we can support. So in the past and most likely going forward, these are the things that we want to do. Also, I am a graduate of Azeem Kamis's Train the Trainers in terms of facilitating forgiveness workshops, which is a big part of everything in terms of being able to go forward with trying to pull folks together, which at this point in time seems to be still kind of a very divided nation. So this is going to be a big challenge for us in terms of going forward, in terms of dealing with this. But I'm sure with everybody, I'm very, very excited with everybody that's on the Leadership Council. It's a wonderful group of people. And I did want to mention that probably in 2005, the best thing I ever did was go to that conference and become involved with the Peace Alliance. It's been absolutely, I think, the best group of people that I have ever been involved with. And it's just a different philosophy and a different mindset, and everyone seems generally interested into putting forth, you know, getting peace building instilled and implemented in this country. So I feel very honored to be part of the Leadership Council, and you will be hearing more from me as we go forward with our legislative priority list. I think that can do it for me, Dan, unless somebody has questions.
Fantastic. Geralyn, I appreciate that. That's wonderful. The folks may have questions a little later on, and there'll be an opportunity if folks want to direct questions to specific members of the council. But that's great for now. Thanks, Geralyn. Next, I want to introduce our social media lead, and that is Allison Lianos. I hope I'm saying that right. Welcome, Allison. Allison, your own phone might be muted. We can't hear you yet.
Yeah, sorry. My phone was in my pocket and it was on mute, so I had to unlock it, unmute myself. Sorry for the delay.
No problem.
Yeah, so it's nice to meet everybody, and I'm actually new to the Peace Alliance. Terry, a family friend of mine, told me about the open opportunity for the social media lead on the Leadership Council. So I'm happy to be part of this organization and doing some really purposeful, meaningful work. I currently work for a nonprofit in Southern California, but I do all their digital communications for four different markets, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, and Dallas. And we're a nonprofit that's focused on empowering teen girls from under-resourced communities to prepare them to be college-bound, confident, and career-ready. And our goal is to reach 12,000 girls by 2020. So I feel like my work with Peace Alliance really aligns with my day job, promoting goodwill and peace and education. And so it's really nice that those two sort of go hand in hand. But, you know, in terms of my role at Peace Alliance, I'm currently still developing the social media communications plan for the organization. But I'm really looking forward to spending a lot of my time doing some storytelling and getting to know all of you and creating some original content that will really engage our online constituents and promoting calls to action for people that want to make a difference. And I'll definitely be in contact with so many of you as I get to know more about your roles and how I can help you and leverage your message as it relates to your specific regions. And it's just great to be part of this. Thank you.
So great. Thank you, Allison. Great to have you on board. Appreciate all that. Great. So our other cornerstone lead has joined us. Ngozi Rashida Akosia is our lead for cultivating personal peace. There you go. Ngozi, your mic is open. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this evening's call. I'm so grateful to be a part of this council. I'm grateful to be a part of the Peace Alliance in this way. And so what I bring to the team is I've been working with inner peace, cultivating inner peace quite actually for a very long time, and I've done that through a lot of different ways, through deeper soul work, through my training as a trained social worker focused in mental health, with my work with bullying in the workplace and other modalities and technologies that allow for us to gain greater peace on the inside. And so this just became a really great opportunity for me to share that message and to share it with and through the Peace Alliance. And I'm hoping to be a part in a more expanded way, which I don't know at this time, but I just know that I'm bringing my very best and I'm very open and receptive to ideas and to consideration. So that's Ngozi.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Ngozi. Great to be with you. Super. So now there is one more person I want to introduce on our council, and it's our Department of Peacebuilding lead, Nancy Merritt. And she's not only going to introduce herself, but is also going to share a little bit of an update because there's exciting news many of you may have already seen in email form, and Nancy's going to tell you a little bit about it. Nancy, you are live.
Okay. Last but not least, huh? So thank you all. I'm excited to be part of the Leadership Council. I've been part of the Peace Alliance since 2004 and involved as a California State Coordinator and also involved pretty heavily with our Mighty California teams, Northern California team, and our statewide teams. And have been part of the National Department of Peacebuilding Committee since it started in 2009. So it just happens that it dovetails with this announcement, kind of dovetails with what I'm excited about, and that is that the Department of Peacebuilding legislation, the Act of 2017, was just introduced last Thursday. And the significance of that is there are a lot of things about it, but it's we've been working. There's been a modern Department of Peacebuilding bill since 2001. The Peace Alliance has been involved since 2004. Our Department of Peacebuilding Committee has been involved pretty heavily in rewriting the bill and trying to get new co-sponsors on since 2013. When Barbara Lee took over the bill after Dennis Kucinich left Congress. So in 2013, 15, and 17, we've made some pretty major contributions to how the bill reads, and including renaming it to Department of Peacebuilding Bill. And we worked on that part of it for this bill since last fall, and we had a team of people who were working back and forth with Barbara Lee's office on that, and that was mostly people, well, Maggie Corn from California and Kendra and Deborah Post from Georgia and me were the main contributors to that part. But since January, we've had a team of about 16 people working to get new original co-sponsors on the bill. And I guess of the, there were 33 returning co-sponsors from 2015 after probably over 300 calls and letters and everything else, emails, we got 26 of those people back on. We also have one new co-sponsor from Florida, brand new congressperson. Whose name is Darren Soto, and I just, I don't know if I have time, but I could read all the people, but there's a lot of people who contributed to this, so Ann Kreider, Joanne Gaines, Hannah Hakodesh, Karen Johnson, Maggie Corin, Lily Marie. My son led a mighty team in Bushwick, New York, and Kendra, mother folks from New York, Deborah, Lori Russo, and Bob Schleheberger, and Pat Simon from Massachusetts were the main people who participated in that. So I really thank them. And that leads into an advertisement for, we're going to start phase two of trying to get the additional co-sponsors on within probably a week or two. And I would love for any of you who's, especially whose members of Congress haven't already signed on, to write me, nancy@peacealliance.org, and let me know if you'd be willing to join this team. So it'll be about an effort in March, basically March, April, and into early, leading into Mother's Day. And on average, it takes about 8 contacts with your member of Congress. And so anyway, if you would be willing, we would love to have you join our team for this part of it. And we're really like to work with people, constituents in particular, or we really need some New Yorkers because we have a lot of New York Congress people who haven't gotten back on, and others. So please send me an email about that. If you're interested in joining our National Department of Peacebuilding campaign calls the third Monday of every month, send me your name and we'll put you on the list. And then the last thing, this email went out, e-blast went out by Peace Alliance last Friday, and there's some actions you can take, petitions you can sign, so I would please recommend that you sign those, and that'll get a message to your member of Congress. So I'm excited that we're, you know, that this is happening and that we're getting a really good start on the Department of Peacebuilding bill. And as Geraldine and others have mentioned, this is a proactive, positive thing we can do as far as legislation, and it does tie into all our peacebuilding cornerstones, and it's just a really nice team effort. So thank you, and please let me know if you can help out with our next phase.
Wonderful, Nancy. So nancy@peacealliance.org, is that the best place to reach you to get on those lists? You probably said it, but
true.
I might have missed it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Great. So so that, plus Marla, that is our leadership council that you have just heard from. And I would love, I'm so proud and excited about the work that Nancy and the DOP committee has done, and I'm also very excited about this new legislative council. And I'd like to try to actually open up all the phone lines, unmute you just for a moment in case you want to sort of join us in a round of applause, both for the DOP committee and also in welcoming our new legislative council.
Great job, everybody. Wonderful work.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome. Indeed. Okay. I think that went fairly smoothly, if I do say so myself, that whole round of applause thing. Hopefully you can all hear me again. So what I would like to do now is move into the empathy in action portion of our call, and hopefully some of you, or maybe all of you, have downloaded the empathy in action guidance sheet that I sent about an hour ago. That can be helpful to look at. I'm going to give you a little bit of background for what we're going to do here, and as I said, I've got a few special guests to work with on this process. Many of you know, and maybe all of you, but at least some or most of you know, that the basis of the Peace Alliance work for its entire existence really has been around relationship building. We have done advocacy, and that advocacy has really largely focused on building connection. And that those connections are typically with members, people in our government, whether at the federal level or the city, county, state level. Also relationships with professionals in media, so our editors or writers for our local newspapers or TV stations or radio stations, and also building relationships in community with potential allies, note from Lori, but I don't think I need to read it right now. Allies in our communities who are doing peace-building work on the ground, people who would like to cooperate with us. So it's a lot of relationship building. It's a lot of communication and conversation and connection. And in the case of government, it's often sort of a progression from emails to postcards and letters to phone calls to in-person visits. You can think of it just like a relationship with someone in your family or a friend. If you're trying to build a relationship with someone, you know you can have some kind of a relationship if you just have an occasional email. You know, what kind of a relationship is it? Well, it's sort of a little bit mild and informative, but it's not that close. You don't really depend on that person probably very much. And it has a certain texture to it. Whereas if you want to really cultivate a stronger connection, you'll probably pick up the phone once in a while and say, how are you? Let me tell you what's important to me. And if you really want to live life together and share community together, you may want to spend some in-person time with that person, whether it's your sister or your cousin or somebody who lives across the country that you haven't seen for a while. So it's very similar with your members of Congress and their staff. If you send them an occasional email, they'll be aware of your existence. If you're making regular phone calls and they get to know your name, then you might become somebody that they rely on a little bit for information and to know what's happening among their constituents. If you show up at their office and you maybe even bring up hi once in a while, but you're letting them know that you're making connections in the community and that you're paying attention to policies that interest you, then that relationship really takes on more heft and more substance. And the same thing holds true with editors of your local paper. If you're going to write a letter to the editor, that's beautiful. If you're going to draft an op-ed and submit that, also very rich. You can work with your editors to persuade them to write an editorial piece about your favorite policy. So I'm really condensing this into a very tiny nutshell, but this is the landscape. And then working with our allies, you can become a really strong ally by finding out what kind of volunteer opportunities there are in your community to work with relevant service providers. You can promote them through letters to the editor. You can promote them at city commission meetings or county commission meetings or budget hearings if they're a public entity. So you can really take action and get involved. It's this relationship building. And I lay that all out partly to get to this point, that the common thread in all these connections about or building relationships, we've found in our work, in our advocacy, that one of the most fundamental tools we can have for our use is the tool of empathy. And this is something that can come up when we're trying to strengthen an existing relationship or meet opposition and try to find out what's going on. So I wonder if anybody has that action sheet, that empathy in action guidance sheet, and might be willing to read the first part of it aloud for us. If you have that in front of you and you're willing to read the first part of it out loud so we can sort of get on the same page, if you will, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad and I will call on you. There's a 1. Fantastic. Joanne Herbert, your mic is live. Please go ahead and read to us.
Hi, thank you. This month, we're concentrating on a fundamental tool in our toolbox, both as activists and as human beings. That tool is empathy. For our purposes, we can define empathy as interested, caring, regarding feelings, values, and or needs. This can refer to the needs, etc., of others and also to those of ourselves. The Peace Alliance has traditionally embraced empathetic communication skills, aka nonviolent communication, as part of walking our talk when it comes to meeting with congressional staff about a bill or policy, cooperating with our allies around common efforts, or when facing arguments or differences of opinion in other circumstances. Here below are 3 scenarios we will explore on tonight's call. Our invitation to you is this, especially if you're facing a challenging situation or task, to experiment with looking through the lens of values or needs. What am I needing, valuing? What might this other person be needing, valuing? And looking for an answer that you might relate to, such as safety, integrity, or care, rather than an answer with likely built-in judgments like world domination or massive accumulation of wealth. Fundamentally, this involves giving yourself and or others the benefit of the doubt, and people often do rise or fall to meet our assumptions about them. Scenario 1.
Thank you, Joanne. That's perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That's beautiful, yeah. So now we're going to go into these scenarios, and we have, as I said, we have 3 special guests. And really, Joanne, that was a beautiful reading. So we have 3 special guests with us, and the first one that's going to share with us is Kathy Kidd, she was a national field coordinator back when I was a state coordinator years ago, and is well known and loved to many in our field, has been a really heroic, supportive person in many of our lives and our activism for years. So Kathy's going to share about an empathetic lens on an issue involving her own heart and mind. And then Lori Draper, you've already met on this call, if you didn't know her before, is going to share a second scenario about using an empathetic lens on a situation involving a family member where there was disagreement and challenge. And then the third scenario, Kendra Mann, who's a heroic member of the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, is going to share a role play with me and with us of presenting her interests and thoughts to the staff member of her member of Congress around the Department of Peacebuilding bill and facing a challenge that she looked at using some empathy. So I'm going to go ahead and there you are, Kathy. I unmute you, and very warm welcome to the call, Kathy. It's so great to be working with you.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, thanks. I hear you fine.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, good. Well, first of all, my heart is full. I'm so inspired by the Leadership Council, what's been created around that, and the voices that I heard. And you're doing a beautiful job of facilitating, Dan. And it was wonderful to hear Nancy's voice and Geraldine's voice. And so I just want to express a concern I have because I see we don't have a lot of time left, and we haven't heard from Judy yet. And I'm just wondering if we want to continue with this or if you want to do it a different time when we have more time to explore all of this. And I'm willing to do whatever you want.
Thank you. I appreciate that. One thing that we can do is basically condense the two field sharing sections into one. So we were planning on having sort of shares from the field that were sort of opening up to empathy or strategy, and then have a section of field shares that were just about more news from the field. So I think we can sort of condense those two things into one and hopefully still have space. Another thing that we can do is we can be willing to go over time. And why don't I take a quick poll of the people on the call. You basically have a sense of where we're going. So if it's no problem for you and you're very willing to stay an additional 10 minutes on this call, go ahead and press 1. If you'd really rather not and there's some place that you have to be and you're going to have to get off the call right at the top of the hour, then please press 2. So I can look and take a quick straw poll. So far I'm seeing about 5 times as many ones as twos. There are a few twos, so we may lose a few people, but so far, it's 5 times as many are easily willing to stay an additional 10 minutes. So I think let's go ahead and do that. Before we go into the sharing part, then I might ask Judy to make a little pitch that she was going to share for a moment. I'll sort of cross that bridge when we get to it. Thanks for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think based on that, we'll go 10 minutes over for anybody who can stay.
All right. So I want to share how I held my heart around our current political situation. And I did start with NVC. I got in touch with how I was feeling, which was devastation, deep grief, shock, confusion. I felt unsettled, depressed, heartbroken, disheartened. So I was really shaken up. So then I looked at, well, what am I needing? And I saw I was needing understanding for how we got here. I needed community so I could be politically active again, empathy for how devastated I felt, and compassion, empathy for those I disagreed with, and particularly this administration. So I asked myself, who do I want to be, and how can I begin living into who I want to be? And who I wanted to be is somebody who has compassion for everyone in this administration and understanding for everyone who voted for this administration. So I saw that I had an empathy wall that I had to climb over. And so the first thing I did was start reading books to understand why we got here. And one I really recommend is Strangers Among Us. It helps understand why people vote against their interests.
And then I of course, have an empathy, an MBC practice group, and I was able to go there, express my grief, and sob and feel heard. So that was very healing. And then something happened that was unexpected that's been a big gift in my life. Carol Hilson, who I met through the Department of Peace campaign, started a 12-step group for activists. And we study the six principles of nonviolence of Martin Luther King and the six steps of nonviolent social action. And we meet every week on the phone and just go through all of those. And it really began to start healing as I read those and thought about how powerful they were. And it gave me something to aspire to. So I was getting all of the need areas that I had identified nourished. And then one morning, and I'm condensing this, a lot more happened, but one morning I woke up with this question: what in me needs to heal in order to heal the country? And that really started escalating my healing of my heart. And so then I was sending postcards to my representatives every week, and I was feeling resentful at what they were doing. And so then I thought, well, how can I not feel so resentful? And I bought postcards that you color. And so when I was coloring them, of course, that really, you can't really be angry and color at the same time. So that was helping me. And then fast forward to a few days ago, I was listening to online the Wisdom 2.0 conference, and Jewel was singing and talking, and she said her purpose was to be a healing presence for others. And in listening to her, I got healed. Of course, it didn't happen in that instance. It was a series of things that happened. But what I started feeling was compassion for our president. And believing he's truly doing the best he can, I imagine he's suffering greatly at all the criticism he's receiving because he's not accustomed to it. He thought he could run the country like he runs his businesses, but he got a rude awakening. And anybody who is in his administration that has a fear of others who are not like them is living a very difficult existence, because opening to the differences and opinions of others is so freeing and rich and joyful. So yes, I will continue to speak up for truth and justice, and my prayer is that at the same time, I can hold him and others with tender care. So I've worked to have compassion specifically for him, and then like anything, when you work really hard, there's a tipping point. It seems like it happened in an instant, but really it took a lot of work to get there. And I did this for myself because it's who I want to be. One who has compassion and love for everyone, even though I may not agree with them. And I see this as similar to forgiveness, because we do it to free ourselves, not for anybody else. And then I thought, well, how different am I from him and some others in his administration if I act from hate and fear? So I was just so happy to get to that point. And then I'll close with one other thing. Michael Moore posted this, and it really helped me in my self-care around my activism. So sometimes in bands or choirs, the music requires players or singers to hold a note for a long time, longer than they can actually hold the note. And in those cases, we're taught to mindfully stagger, taking turns to breathe so the sound appears uninterrupted. So everyone gets to breathe and the music stays strong and vibrant. So in our activism, let's remember music. Take a breath. The rest of the chorus will sing. The rest of the band will play. We can rejoin so others can breathe. And together we can sustain a very long, beautiful song for a very, very long time. So we don't have to do it all, but we have to add our voice to the song. And that's it.
Oh, so beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Oh, I'm so pleased with myself for inviting you to do this.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Kathy. God, it's a pleasure to be with you. I'd love
Thank
to
you.
Spend lots more time, but let's mosey along and check in with Laurie, because Laurie's going to share with us another scenario, moving, as I said, from the self-orientation that Kathy just so beautifully shared with us into working with a situation involving somebody close to her. Go ahead, Laurie.
So my example, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can. Thanks.
Okay, all right. My example involves Facebook, which I'm guessing maybe some of you have had a challenge with over the last weeks and months. And I titled my little presentation, Feed Empathy. So I opened Facebook one day, and here's a post from my beloved nephew. And it starts out with, "You liberals are all idiots." And it got worse from there. My first reaction was to fire off a response and refute each of the points of the post one by one and make sure he knew how I felt. Then I took a deep breath, way down deep, feeling hurt. My need for connection is not being met. Another deep breath. Wonder what's going on with Carl. Sounds like he's very frustrated. I'm guessing his need to really be heard has gone unmet for a really long time. I've been there. I live in a red state. I worked in a really red job for 34 years. I stifled my thoughts and feelings many times. I think I know where he is. Another deep breath. Now I'm in a place to reach out. So that's my share, Dan. When I finally did a couple minute exercise, I was in a place where I could reach out in a place of empathy.
I love it. Wonderful. Thank you so much. A great story. And as usual, this call is being recorded. So if folks just are loving this part, you know, half or as much as I am, you'll have a chance to hear it again by finding it on our website on the Deep Advocacy page. And you can also recommend it to friends who you think might enjoy it. So next I want to call on our friend Kendra. And I'll give a little bit of background. Kendra is, as I said, on the Department of Peacebuilding Committee. And why don't I ask you to go ahead and tell us, Kendra, what did you come with, and what have we done so far? Will you sort of bring us up to speed, Kendra?
Sure. So I got helpful coaching from Dan about needing to follow up with the legislative assistant at my congressman's office. My congressman is Representative Gerald Huffman, and his legislative assistant is Scott Rasmussen. We met last September when we were lobbying on the Hill, and he's not yet a co-sponsor, and I keep working with him and his office. And so I was not happy with how I handled the question about the difference between the State Department and the Department of Peacebuilding. And so this is what I want to do a role play with
right
now.
Yeah, perfect. So, and I'll fill in a little bit or just add my two cents. So Kendra had basically an empathy question and also a strategy question, kind of as I saw it. So she had some feelings that came up when this legislative aide asked her, well, now why do we need a Department of Peacebuilding? We have a Department of State for that. So Kendra had some feelings that came up around that, sort of felt a little bit flustered and confused perhaps, and you know, other feelings. So basically I reflected and made guesses about what feelings and needs might have been coming up for her around that, and she had a chance to reflect, and something she can also do for herself and for people can do for each other. And then Kendra also, you know, wanted me to give her some strategy input to say, okay, so, you know, what are some differences that I might point out regarding the difference between the Department of State and the Department of Peacebuilding? So and we got into, well, Department of State only deals with international matters, and not domestic matters in the Department of Peace Building would be, the current budget as proposed would be 85% domestic issues. And while there are some entities within the Department of State that do work on multi-party conflict resolution processes, much of the Department of State is concerned with other areas like market development and freedom of the press and free enterprise. So that's some of what we went into. So basically, strategy and empathy were both useful. And I think with that, we can go ahead into the role play. So here's, I think, how this might go. And Kendra, do you want to start by, is this going to be on the phone that you're going to be doing this?
Yeah, it's Scott Rasmussen. And is that what you're asking
okay.
me?
Yeah, you'll be giving him a phone call?
Yes. And
okay, so how about we start by you saying ring, ring, and I'll be him.
Ring, ring.
Okay. Hello, Scott Rasmussen here.
Hi, Scott. This is Kendra Mann from the National Department of Peace Building Committee, and I thank you for taking my call. I know this is a challenging time there on the Hill from what Representative Huffman said at a recent town hall. I sure hope you're finding some good ways to take care of yourself, because that's a part of peace building too. How's it going?
Oh, thanks for asking, Kendra. Yeah, it is kind of a heated time these days. It's very confusing on the Hill. But yeah, I take care of myself okay. You know, I get in my morning jog and I feel all right more or less. Thank you. So what's on your mind today? Are you calling to talk about something that we talked about before or something new? What's going on?
Yeah, I really wanted to follow up. When you asked me when we met last, and I was talking with you about the Department of Peace Building, and you asked what the difference between the Department of State and the Department of Peace Building would be, I just kind of got a little flustered when I said that part of the difference would be that the State Department was limited to putting U.S. interests first, and you quickly and rightly pointed out that any U.S. official should put our nation's interests first. And I was trying to explain the difference, but I didn't do a very good job of it. And now that I've thought more about it, I just would like to say that a peace-building ideal would be to place U.S. interests first among equals, and to make a strong commitment to win-win outcomes. I mean, they've been shown to be more effective and lasting in the workplace and other settings, and it just makes sense to me that that really long-lasting and effective negotiation would have that kind of a commitment. And the role of the peace-building department would be to collaborate with the State Department and all government agencies, really, by offering effective conflict resolution resources and tools. And one of the stories that really struck me was that I read that when they were having the climate change conferences in South Africa and Paris, that the delegates used a South African negotiating process where they stated the needs of each of their own nations, and then they were asked to work on finding solutions that would incorporate all of those needs that had been stated by each individual nation. And they were able to break through and come to some conclusions that that then they built on in Paris. So that's part of the kind of thing that a Department of Peace Building and its staff could bring to all the agencies of government. So I'm wondering, now that I've said all that, because I know that you and Representative Huffman want to avoid costly and ineffective duplications of services, has my little story clarified differences and points of collaboration that there could be between a State Department and a peace-building department?
Thanks. That does start to illustrate it more for me, that I guess that you do see the importance of U.S. interests, but there's this kind of longer view around win-win solutions that we can sort of do some of both, perhaps, but that you're wanting to move us into this more kind of a shared priorities mode. Is that kind of it?
Yeah, I think we know that we are all growing and changing, and what we want to do is support the growing and the changing, and that's the ideal that we all want to work for, I think, to have longer lasting peace and build it.
Do appreciate your passion.
Thank you for listening.
I'm
wondering if you'd, I'm asking if you'd be willing now to look over the new bill that's just been revised and reintroduced by Barbara Lee as H.R. 1111 and take another look and see about co-sponsoring as a legislative marker for the importance of nonviolent conflict resolution. Would you do that?
I will take a look at it. I will certainly take another look at it. And, you know, with the kind of dedication that you're showing, I would be remiss if I didn't at least give it another look. Let me see what I can do. I may have some more questions, and I'll take your email, and maybe I can get back to you with questions. But yeah, I'll be happy to at least take another look.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. So back into our body. Thank you, Kendra. And I kind of want to state for folks on the call that Kendra is one of a group of people that has been really studying and practicing, talking about and learning about this material for years. So you basically do not need to be as your knowledge doesn't have to be as deep and erudite as Kendra's is to call your member of Congress and say, I think it's a real good idea for us to work on better peace-building tools in every area. Of course, I imagine Kendra would be happy to coach you if you have questions, as would Nancy. But I just want to sort of share that you can do that in a lot simpler terms, perhaps, and don't have to be such an expert. Usually I would love to have a debrief and ask you, Kendra, you know, what do you think you did well there and what might you do differently? And also hear that from you know, other folks perhaps. But I've got to apologize in general in terms of time management, maybe ask for a little forgiveness that I was, you know, juggling 10 council members and 3 workshop participants and X, Y, and Z, and we're almost over our extended overtime. So let me try to take, you know, just maybe one share from the so we hear from somebody who wasn't expecting to be heard from. Kendra, can I just say thank you and depart ways for now?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Love you. Thank you. If anybody has sort of a something that they would like some quick empathy around or a strategy question for anybody that you've heard speak, it would have to be something that we can really address in a minute and then shift over to Judy, because I'm very self-conscious about what we've done with our shared time here. Press 1 on your keypad if you have something that you'd like some empathy around in real shorthand, and I apologize for the tightness of time. I'll give another 5 seconds. Maybe I scared you out of it with my talk about scarcity of time, and I'm sorry about that. But we can, all the people that spoke tonight, I think, are more than willing to speak with you more individually. I certainly am. Dan@peacealliance.org. And again, this will be posted as a recording. And I'm going to turn it over to Judy Kimmel, who will say our closing words, a few closing words, and then lead us to a closing quote. And I thank you all for sticking with us. And Judy, your mic is open. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. And thanks to everybody on the call, whether you spoke or didn't speak. And I know you're everywhere in this country and even internationally. So we appreciate everybody that's on the call tonight. And so I want to also be very brief, but I did want to just end the evening by saying we need to do a lot more of these calls. There's so much to cover and so much we want to convey to everyone, and we're just touching the tip of the iceberg, so keep your eyes peeled for more of these national calls. I would encourage everybody on this call, particularly obviously if you're new, and there are no new people on this call, to go to our website. Please do that, and please, if you're interested in hearing, getting notices about more calls about advocacy and what we're doing in peace building and strategies and actions and the receiving email blasts about legislation. You heard Geraldine talking earlier tonight about actions that we're working on and positive things that actually we can vote for and encourage our representatives and senators to vote for that are happening right now. It kind of gets lost in the media, but you should know that over 2,000 bills are dropped in the House and the Senate every year, so there's lots to vote on. And then, of course, we are also going to be offering these webinars in these different fields of peace building. So there's a lot to know. Please sign up on our website if you want to be on our email list and are not. Also, if you like us on Facebook and our blogs, and we have a DOP blog, please do that. We, of course, appreciate any support we can get in that way in spreading the word. And lastly, but not leastly, we just thank you for being the juice and really the livelihood of our organization. Without all you people out there, we wouldn't exist. And we wouldn't exist because we wouldn't be having these coordinated actions, and we wouldn't be willing to have the kind of impact that we do have at a national and local level. In order to do that, as I'm going to make a little donation plea, and that is, we appreciate every contribution we get, whether it's a small one or whether there are people who actually put us in their will. We're very grateful at all level, and I just want to remind and encourage you, when you go to our website, we would love to invite you to be one of our peace partners, which is a stewardship person. And if you can afford, and only if you can afford, you know, that giving up one latte a month or that extra piece of pizza or a glass of wine and donating that money on a monthly basis to us, we would deeply, deeply appreciated. We have, as you heard, many, many dedicated people, mostly the far majority volunteers all over this country who are working to make an impact in a positive, peaceful way, and also a way that gets us in the halls of Congress and not just walking on the street. So we try to kind of do it both ways, from in the halls of Congress and in our own communities. And we found that it can be very, very effective. So gratitude for you being on the call, and gratitude for your energy. And I'm always reminded every day that every person on this call is a peacemaker. And without us, the world would be in a very different spot. So I'm grateful, and it does give me hope. So lastly, we always end in a quote, and I picked out Dwight D. Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, number one, because he's a Republican, and we are a nonpartisan organization, and tonight's focus has been on empathy. I think we all, it's a hard thing to come by sometimes, and it's something that's very important. It's kind of core to how we've been as successful as we have been as an organization. So I'm going to read an excerpt very quickly from his 1961 farewell address, because I think it kind of speaks to what we all are rising to. It says, "To all peoples of the world, I once more give expression to America's prayerful and continuing aspiration. We pray that the peoples of all faiths, all races, all nations may have their great human needs satisfied, that those now denied opportunity shall come to enjoy it to the full, that all who yearn for freedom may experience its spiritual blessings, that those who, have freedom will understand also its heavy responsibilities, that all who are insensitive to the needs of others will learn charity, that poverty, disease, and ignorance will be made to disappear from the earth, and that in the goodness of time, all peoples will come to live together in a peace guaranteed by the binding force of mutual respect and love. So with that, I say onward, and we've got a lot of work to do, and we'll have another call next month with more of this insight into advocacy and things we can do to make a difference in our world. Dan, I'm back to you.
Amen. Thank you, Judy. And I'm opening up the line so that everybody who wants to can say whatever they want to say. Thank you all, and good night.
Good night.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Dan.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Laura.